This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life.
We're going to be talking about anxiety, excitement, and fear. Three aspects that are very important to understand. These four physiologically things, actually anxiety, nervousness, excitement, and fear, these four physiologically based psychological, emotional experiences are very confusing to most people. So I have in the studio with me today my special guest and dear friend, Dr. William Astwood. He's going to be sharing the co-hosting with me. Will, thanks back. Welcome back.
Thanks. Always good to be here.
Once you feel one of these anxiety, nervousness, excitement, or fear, it feels very, very real. And once the pattern starts, it's hard to stop.
Today we're going to try to sort this out for you so that we can have a better understanding of these conditions.
To start off with, I want to address the physiological components of all of these: anxiety, excitement, fear, and nervousness. Because if you can get a picture of what's going on in the body, if you could recognize the physiological part before the mind takes over, then you'll have a better control over the depths of these emotions or conditions. I'm not sure if they are emotions. This is Armand DeMille with my co-host, Dr. William Astwood. We'll be with you till 6 o'clock today, focusing our attention on these many different aspects of the anxiety system. Stick with us, and you'll get an invaluable lesson about one of the most confusing aspects of human functioning. And we're going to be real through the whole thing. Both Dr. William Astwood and I, or Bill, have been treating anxiety disorders for 25 years.
Being mental health professionals, we have been both trained and educated in the dynamics of anxiety and anxiety-related disorders. There are a lot of technical terms that professionals use amongst themselves to communicate the different factors involved.
But our job here today is to translate the medical jargon into a language that you can understand so that you can get a better control and understanding about this stuff.
And at the same time, as any good teacher would do, we have to make sure that this is entertaining and lighthearted enough so that you don't get overwhelmed by the complexities of it.
We're going to be talking about anxiety and excitement in many forms, including fear, depression, phobias, obsessions, compulsions, erotomania, hysteria, panic attacks, paranoia, the fear of losing control, and the fear of existential annihilation. If we could last that long, if we can get to that one.
And by the end of this program, you will have most of the knowledge that we have, and I guarantee you a better control over your life.
So let's get started, Bill. To begin with, I want all of you out there to understand some of what goes on in the body when you are either anxious, frightened, or excited. It is important to recognize that these three conditions all share a common physiological response.
Think about it as good and bad nervousness. Good nervousness is excitement, anticipation, aliveness, alertness, being pumped up, but in a way that feels good.
Bad nervousness is anxiety, panic, fear, phobias, obsessions, terror, worry. We call it bad nervousness because you don't like the feeling. It's a bad feeling. It's not a judgment that it's bad nervousness. It just doesn't feel good. So we're going to call it bad nervousness. Well, you've all heard about the fight or flight response. What exactly is it? Because that's what takes place in the body whenever you feel anxious, frightened, nervous, or excited.
That's right. You can be happily excited about celebrating your birthday with people that you care about, or you can be having a terrible time worrying about having a heart attack. In both cases, the excitement of pleasure and the fear of the heart attack, your body is reacting in the same way physiologically.
Let me explain that. Among the many survival mechanisms that we have inherited, the primary one is to be able to perceive and respond to danger. So part of our encoded genetic defense mechanism, which seems to be identical in all living creatures, is this thing called the fight or flight response. It's automatic. We have a small part of our brains that has not changed much since the over the centuries of evolution. This part is identical to the brains of reptiles.
And its purpose is to keep us from being devoured by somebody else.
By another creature of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fight-or-flight response. The key to understanding this is to understand that in order to escape injury or danger, we need our bodies to go on automatic to get us out of trouble. We don't have time to think when we're under attack. So the grand designer, whether you call it nature or God or whatever you call it, gave us sharp antennas, our eyes, our ears, our smell mechanisms, and our skin sensors. These are meant to unconsciously sense danger before it gets too close. Then our nervous system, once it gets the sensors, takes over and dictates our responses. The second most important thing to understand is that we have a split nervous system. Now, take a minute here and try to picture this. One part of our nervous system is called the sympathetic nervous system. It's meant to regenerate our dead cells, to help our bodies grow, and to give us what we need in order to stay healthy and vibrant. Now, I'm explaining this all to you because if you understand the nervous system, you could kind of picture what happens to you when you get nervous. They call our total nervous system the autonomic nervous system, because they used to think it was automatic, that we had no control of it. But we've learned lately through yoga, meditation, we do have some control over it. But it's called the autonomic nervous system, divided into two branches. One branch is for the regeneration and growth, and that's called the sympathetic nervous system. It handles almost all passive functions. The other part of our nervous system is that part that is called the sympathetic nervous system. The sympathetic nervous system is meant to function where all action is required. It's that part that takes over whenever action is needed. Get this now. All anxiety, nervousness, panic, fear, fight or flight is under the command of the sympathetic nervous system. Let's take a second look at it. Just review it. Think about it. Sympathetic nervous system, it controls fight or flight, action, hunting, finding, running for a bus, excitement, sexual excitement, wakefulness, alertness. That's sympathetic nervous system functioning. Parasympathetic nervous system functioning, rest, digestion, repair, sleep. All the stuff. It's like the plants at night. You know, they take in the oxygen during the day, and at night they do the photosynthesis so that they grow. Parasympathetic function. We grow. We replace cells at night. When we rest, when we relax, we repair our bodies. But when we're alert, when we're suddenly sharp, when we have to do something, that's sympathetic nervous system. Now, both are always in action, but usually there's a strong dominance of one or the other.
So when a person is in action, the sympathetic nervous system is dominating. And when a person is resting, the parasympathetic nervous system dominates.
Now, it's important to understand and to get a picture of what happens in your body when you become nervous and the sympathetic nervous system gets heightened. Think about it. It's so primitive. It's so amazing a survival mechanism. When you become anxious, you start breathing deep. Now, why? Why are you breathing so fast? What do you think? What does this function have to do? Why are we suddenly hyperventilating? Because the body needs more oxygen at that moment. It wants to feed the entire blood system with an extra jolt of oxygen because it needs that oxygen to fight this battle. You begin to sweat. Why would you sweat? Because it wants to cool off the body so that the body could raise its heat temperature for battle. Your heart starts pumping faster when you're nervous. Think about it physiologically as a survival mechanism. Why would your heart be beating faster? Well, it's real clear. It wants to pump the blood to the smooth muscle so that you could get, you know, the big muscles, so that you could be ready for battle. In fact, the peripheral nerve vessels, they don't need oxygen at that time. They don't need blood at that time. So you notice your hands and your feet get cold because it's the big muscles that need the blood. Your eyes dilate. Now, why would your eyes dilate when you get nervous? Because it's better for you to spot the enemy. It gives you better peripheral vision. See? So if you look at the eyes of a nervous person, you see their eyes dilate because they are ready to spot the enemy. Now, this is an interesting thing. Here it is. You're waiting for a friend of yours to come over to dinner, and you're very excited. You're excited in a happy kind of way. Yet, you're preparing yourself for battle. Your body, as you get excited, is starting to breathe deep. You're starting to sweat. Your heart's pumping faster. You're in the same mechanism as if you were under attack. The muscles, the broad muscles start to get tense because they want to stop penetration. You know, you start feeling a tension over your shoulders. You're getting ready for a party. That's why you get worn out. Your liver releases sugar because it's going to need fast sugar for the body. And it gets even more fascinating. You secrete a blood clotting mechanism, which more of a blood clotting mechanism at the time when you're in sympathetic heightening. Because in case you get wounded, you got to be able to stop the wound. You got to stop the blood flow. Now, this is so if a person gets excited, that means if they're going to do a performance on stage or something, well, let's say you're waiting for your mother to come over to dinner. What's the danger? Is she going to knife you? Well, most mothers won't do it, but you're waiting. I mean, you know, there is no real danger. It's somebody you love who's coming over for dinner. But you get excited. You get worried. You find yourself suddenly getting worried if the house is nervous, you know, if the house is clean. It's not so much their judgment. It's that you're getting excited and your body's going on defense. In fact, you might find yourself having to rush to the bathroom. Why do you think we have to urinate and defecate when we get nervous? Why do you think there's such an urge? You should see the radio station here. Whenever anybody's about to go on the program, if you want to look for the host, you'll find them in the bathroom right before the program. Of course, we like to get our anxiety up, our nervousness up, so that we could deliver energy across the program. Why do you have to go to the bathroom when you get nervous or excited? What do you think? Because the body wants to lose weight for the battle. The less weight you have, the more mobile you are. So it releases all the excess weight. In fact, the most interesting thing in men, when men get nervous, their testicles rise in their scrotum. Did you ever notice that? Why do you think your testicles rise in your scrotum? Not all of you, but some of you. Why do you think those testicles are going up there? Because who wants that dangling around out there if you're going to be in battle? This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind, giving you an education like you've never had before in some of the dynamics of psychology, psychotherapy, and psychiatry. We're talking about anxiety, nervousness, and fear today. We'll be talking about it for the next few hours. My guest, Dr. William Astwood. We're talking about a sympathetic nervous system and a parasympathetic nervous system. When you start getting so excited that the excitement builds on itself, two things begin to happen. One is very natural. If your body gets excited for any reason, that means if you drink a cup of coffee and you feel a caffeine excitement, that triggers an excitement mechanism in your body. The first thing the body asks is, there's danger, where is the enemy? The first thing the mind does is says, where is the enemy? When the mind says, where is the enemy, you look around you for anything that is a potential enemy. So if you think, where's the enemy, and your roommate, your husband, or your wife is standing right there, you say, it must be them. And so you find something they do unnerving, like if they hand you a few candies, but you're in a heightened state. You wait, don't hand me that right now. What's the matter with you? Don't you know that that's filled with, and you yell at them. People who yell at people when they're in a nervous condition is because the mind is searching for an enemy and it's picking the thing that is nearest. Well, all of this leads to a condition called sympathetic overload. Now, this is known in the emergency rooms. Sympathetic overload is when nerve impulses are firing indiscriminately to the point of overwhelming a person to a feeling of panic.
So nervous means nerves firing rapidly, and it's a physiological experience.
It's a physiological experience, Bill. That's right. Anxiety is the... Now, what anxiety is, if you want to be real specific, is the mind's attempt to deal with this buzzing in your body, this nervousness, what I call the nervy buzz. You know, it's like you're now on hum, and the hum is growing, and the mind says, wait a minute, we're nervous, what are we nervous about? Let's try to control ourselves. That's what I think anxiety really is. It is a control mechanism. It's a mechanism attempt to kind of control this felt sense of excitement and the perception that there must be danger. This is Armand DeMille with Dr. William Astwood talking about anxiety, excitement, fear, phobias, and all the other things related to anxiety, taking you on a journey of the mind, getting you to understand. When we come back, we're going to be discussing some of the human manifestations of the fight-or-flight response.
We're going to take a short break, play you a little music, and when we come back, we'll continue with our discussion.
Call her. Lily runs when you look away. Lily leaves kisses on your collar. Lily, 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 stay. Lily comes when you stop to call her. Lily runs when you look away. Lily leaves kisses on your collar. Lily, 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 stay. One day she passed him by, a twinkle in her eye. He said she was meant for me, but when he turned around, he lost what he'd found. Oh, where can his Lily be? Lily comes when you stop to call her. Lily runs when you look away. Lily leaves kisses on your collar. Some are in a locket, he couldn't bring himself to waste them. Ever since she's gone, some days he can't go on. She ruined him for another. Pressed up against the glass, he prays that she will pass. Now he's living with his mother. Lily comes when you stop to call her.
Stay with us. Stay with us here at WBAI. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. We are bringing you a discussion today from a very important point of view. We want you to hear and learn about anxiety and nervousness, but it's the kind of programming you can only get here on WBAI because we have the freedom to bring to you some of the most dynamic stuff, and we're not affected. We don't have to sell you drugs, medication, therapy, or anything. That's what we need, and that's what the positive mind is about. The positive mind is one of the most dynamic psychological programs anywhere available in the media because we bring you information freely without being affected or without being criticized by management. 516-620-3602. That is the telephone number for our transmitter. We are in an emergency transmitter fund time. We are trying to find money to get this donation so that we could pay off our transmitter bills at the Empire State Building. It's a critical, important time. Time for you to show your support for this kind of programming and the stuff you're listening to. We'll be going right back to it and talk to you much more with Bill Astwood
about anxiety and nervousness, fear. 516-620-3602. You got an extra $10 in your pocket? That's all. 10. Would you please call 516-620-3602 and make a pledge for $10? 15, 20. Been lucky this week? Having a good day at the market? Market's at new highs. Brand new highs. Any of you really been fortunate enough to capitalize on that? Home real estate is rising again. The economy, the unemployment rate has dropped significantly. You must have a little more cushion than you've had in the past. 516-620-3602. Please go to your phones and make a donation. You could also go to give2wbai.org. That's give2wbai.org with a 2 in the middle of the words give and WBAI. You can make a donation there. We've gotten through some rough times together, my friends, really, really rough times. And it's unfortunate that our station is a laggard. It's falling behind because of the storm, because of our move. There are so many alterations we have to make, but we are in trouble and we need your help. 516-620-3602. I know you've given before. I know you've given all month. I continue to ask you to support us. We're going to go back to our programming in just a minute. 516-620-3602. Please make your calls. 516-620-3602 or go to give2wbai.org. What we're talking about is an antenna. An antenna that sends out radio waves all over the city in different directions. We are just growing with our audience. We have so many new people coming in. I'm told 1,500 new people strike our website every week. Every week come by to see, for one reason or another, what we're doing. And that would disappear. WBAI could disappear. We kind of know it's not going to, because even though it feels like a threat, I know you guys are not going to let it happen, because where would you be without this station? 516-620-3602. I am the longest. I've been the person on air the longest uninterrupted on WBAI. We have other people on WBAI, but everyone's been interrupted from one time or another. And I've stayed with you the whole way. I feel really fortunate, and I will continue to be with you, bringing you more ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And now I am here assisted by my cousin and becoming good friend, Julian Joiello, who teaches me what's happening in the other generations. So we could bring you that as well. 516-620-3602. Give to WBAI.org. That's 517-620-3602. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Back with our programming in just a minute. 516-620-3602. Please go to your phones right now.
Right now, we're just going to continue on this physiological search for a while. We're going to continue talking about this for a while. Bill, in your experience in dealing with people who just have this kind of raw anxiety, have you seen this what looks like physiological response, and they're trying to make sense out of it?
Well, yeah, the nervous irritability that you were talking about is usually very noticeable. People will have difficulty sitting still. There'll be cold sweats, there'll be a fidgeting, and there'll be a general kind of tension or rigidity to the body, all of which sound like they're about to be attacked or they're getting ready to fly away and avoid the danger.
So now that you've got the physiological response, of what goes on, we're going to start breaking down the different psychiatric conditions related to anxiety, including what you can do about it. We're going to address the issue of phobias, and we're going to answer the big question that's on everybody's mind, which is, what is arachibutyrophobia? Arachibutyrophobia.
Say that fast 3 times.
Arachibutyrophobia. All you shrinks and students of the human mind, what is it? How can we deal with it? And how does it affect our sex lives? Well, one thing for sure, one thing we know, Ann Otis out there, Ann Otis is a known Iraqi butrophobic. So that's one of the people I know, because she's kind of volunteered to let you know about it. We're going to be covering the vital importance of understanding the physiology of these different states of excitement. So now we're going to talk about anxiety specifically and the different parts of anxiety specifically. Anxiety is as much a part of life as eating and sleeping. Under the right circumstances, anxiety could be beneficial. It heightens alertness and readies the body for action. Faced with an unfamiliar challenge, a person is often spurred by anxiety to prepare for the upcoming radio show.
For example, many people practice what they're going to say and study for tests as a result of a mild anxiety.
Right. And likewise, anxiety is a protection from danger. Now, fear is a form of anxiety and is a perfectly normal response to real physical danger. Fears are not normal, however, when they are exaggerated, unrealistic, or they become overwhelming and interfere with daily living. Incapacitating fears are symptoms of an anxiety disorder. We're going to be talking about fears and phobias later in the program, but suffice to say that fear is a form of anxiety. Get that. It's the same as anxiety in the body with a little muscle tension in the brain, you know, that makes it feel like fear. Now, to answer the important question that I mentioned earlier, what is Iraqi butrophobia? In order to answer that, you have to understand, what is Iraqi butrophobia? Are we going to get to that? You have to understand that one way that people deal with this constant sympathetic overload, this over-anxious condition, is to focus their fear on one specific object, event, or situation. Those are called phobias. Like claustrophobia, the fear of Santa Claus. No, claustrophobia is really the fear of enclosed spaces. Or androphobia, which is the fear of men.
Now, when we're talking about phobias, we're not talking simply about things that you avoid or maybe dislike. We're talking about things that engender a panic response and that you must avoid.
You don't have a choice. So an androphobic has a panic response when getting near or thinking about getting near men. And the claustrophobic panics if suddenly thrown into a closed, enclosed place like a stuck elevator.
Also keep in mind that in order for a phobia to have a specific name, like acrophobia, the fear of heights, there must have been thousands of known cases who have had this specific disorder.
But what is Iraqi butrophobia? We'll get to that in just a minute, in a little later. But keep in mind, as we present the different phobias throughout this broadcast, every phobia we mentioned has at least 1,000 suffering souls behind it. So although we may kid about it, it's serious stuff to some people, like arachnophobia, the fear of spiders, or hematophobia, the fear of the sight of blood. Many of you have it, but consider it a silly idiosyncrasy that simply means you avoid spiders and the sight of blood, which you can do in this day and age fairly easily.
Yeah, but many of these fears can be crippling and are crippling and really interfere with the quality of a person's life. So we're going to be covering that a little later in the program.
We're going to be talking about all the specific phobias as we progress a little. Right now, we're going to address what we in the mental health profession call the anxiety disorders, which are, by the way, the most common and most successfully treated form of mental illness. Not like depression, which is a lot more difficult to treat.
Right. And as a group, anxiety disorders afflict 8.3% of all Americans. Symptoms can be so severe that patients are left almost totally disabled, too terrified to leave their homes, to enter an elevator that takes them to their offices, to attend parties, or to go out to shop for food.
You know, anxiety is a word commonly used, so commonly used that many people don't understand what it means. Complicating matters is the fact that anxiety and fear are often used to describe the same thing. When the word anxiety is used to discuss a group of mental illnesses, it refers to an unpleasant and overriding mental tension that has no apparent identifiable cause.
Anxiety disorders are probably the most prevalent group of psychiatric disorders in the United States today. Approximately 27 million Americans, nearly 15% of the population, will suffer from an anxiety disorder at some point in their lives. Anxiety disorders are most often characterized as having one or having an element of fearfulness involved.
Anxiety disorders refer to a group of illnesses that are the following: generalized anxiety disorders, phobia, panic disorders, obsessive compulsive disorders, and post-traumatic stress disorders. We're going to take you through each one of these today.
In addition, people suffering from anxiety disorders are often apprehensive and worry that something bad may happen to themselves or to their loved ones.
They often feel impatient, irritable, and easily distracted. And as we said a little earlier, these disorders come about as a kind of impairment or overreaction of the normal fight or flight response. And although these disorders are responsive to treatment, the majority of sufferers do not request or receive help. This is related to something that we'll talk about more in detail, which is my idea about the secondary gain in almost all of these disorders. We'll talk about that more a little later. People with anxiety disorders will, however, look for help with the physical symptoms, such as rapid heartbeat. They'll go run to their doctor. Respiratory distress, nausea, they'll take something for that. They seem to be not aware or may not want to admit that there are or may be emotional or psychological causes for the symptoms.
And these people worry about being labeled as either crazy or weak if they admit to the overwhelming anxiety or fear that they're experiencing. But there is evidence that these symptoms are the result of a healthy coping mechanism that's gone awry.
And worrying about them tends to exaggerate their effects. So there are several different types of anxiety disorders. Okay, we're going to give you just one or two right now. The most common are...
Panic disorders. Panic disorders are probably the best studied and most understood of the anxiety disorders, and they're characterized by repeated, unprovoked attacks of terror, accompanied always by physical symptoms, including chest pain, heart palpitations, shortness of breath, dizziness, weakness, and sweating.
The key word here is sudden. Panic attacks seem to come out of nowhere. Then they start off as feeling irritable, and edgy, but they escalate rapidly to a dreadful feeling of feeling like you're losing control.
Panic disorders affect about 1.2 million Americans, and victims suddenly experience intense, overwhelming terror for no apparent reason. A panic attack is accompanied by at least four of the following symptoms. So in order for it to be truly a panic attack, you must have at least four of the following: sweating, heart palpitations, hot or cold flashes, trembling, a feeling of unreality, and choking or smothering sensations.
You could also have shortness of breath, chest discomfort, faintness, unsteadiness, tingling, fear of losing control, dying, or going crazy. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue.
You are listening to The Positive Mind with Armand.
Hello, and it's Julian here, and that number is going to get you to a call center. When you get to that call center, you need to call them and tell them that you're looking to donate to the Transmitter Fund for WBAI. The Transmitter Fund is... this money is going to be going directly to paying for the antenna that WBAI uses to send out their radio shows through the sound waves. And it's not going to be transmitted if we can't afford this. And we're already behind on it, and that's why we're bothering you once again for this money. But we would only do it because we need it, because we need to keep listener-supported radio out there for you guys. This is Julian, Armand's cousin, engineer, and I've been working with him for a while. And it's amazing to be... to be part of this show and listening to all this stuff and just going through it. It's beautiful, really, spending time with Armand. If you love Armand, if you love The Positive Mind, if you love WBAI, donate now, 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Now, you call that number, you tell them you want to donate. You can say $5, $10, $15, $20, $50, $100, $1,000, anything you want to do. We will take it, and we will put it directly towards the Transmitter Fund to pay for our antenna at the Empire State Building. Now, this antenna is shooting out sound rays all over the city, 90 miles wide, getting to everybody out there in Jersey, in the metropolitan area. You know, this is like, this is it, you know, and we need this. This is the only way we get to transmit. Other than that, there's the website, but, you know, this is not the traditional way. We want to do it through the radio, through the antenna, and keep it going and reach you guys out there. So 516-620-3602. Now, it's pretty cool. Me and Armand have been looking into the statistics of what's going on in his site, and we're getting 1,500 new visitors every week. And it's just amazing. This show is loved, and we want you guys' help. We need your help. If you love this show, help us out. And, you know, if you donated before, donate again if you can. If not, you know, tell your friends, tell your family, tell your coworkers, show them the show, share with them thepositivemind.com. And there's the archives there. You can listen to other shows. And, you know, we want to keep that. We want more shows coming. We want new shows. We want to keep WBAI here and going. So that's 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Now, this is Julian, and I'm Armand's cousin, engineer. I've been working with him for the past couple months, keeping the show going through these hard times, you know. And you hear hard times, and you're like, we've all been through hard times, but I mean, WBAI's office was on Wall Street, and it got flooded during Hurricane Sandy, and it's just changed everything for the past couple months. It's really changed everything. They had to do a whole move. They lost their ISDN lines, which is how they normally transmit the radio to the Empire State Building to be transmitted to you guys. So it's been difficult, where everybody's been having to scramble to make their own shows, and it's not easy, and we need your help. We need your help. You're the one. If you're listening to this right now, help us out. Call 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. And also, if you don't want to pick up the phone and call this call center, which is maybe a little bit complicated, go to give2wbai.org. Now, give2wbai.org is with the number 2. And this site, you can go there right now and donate to our emergency transmitter fund and help us out. Now, it's just one click away. You just click it, go there, donate, and boom, you're done. And you've helped us out. And you've done your part. And we need everybody to do their part, because if we've got 1,500 visitors a week, we have 1,500 new unique visitors a week just streaming the show on Armand's site, The Positive Mind. I mean, there's got to be thousands of people out here just listening, and if you could give us $5 each, it would be enormous. It would be enormous, and that's it. We need your help. We need you, every single one of you, to help us out and keep this afloat, because if not, WBAI, all this work that we've been doing, this fund drive for the past month, all this helping out, that all these donations that people have been giving, it's going to be for nothing, and we can't have that happen. You know, we need to make sure the WBAI is kept afloat. And that's with your help. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. And give to WBAI.org.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of touch. But it wasn't because I didn't know enough. I just knew too much.
WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial.
Let's go back for a minute and talk about the panic attacks that we were talking about. The panic attacks have symptoms. In order for you to have what you're having to be a panic attack, you must have 4 of the following. Ready, Bill?
Okay. Sweating, heart palpitations, hot or cold flashes, trembling, feelings of unreality, choking or smothering sensations, shortness of breath, chest discomfort, faintness, unsteadiness, tingling in the extremities, or fear of losing control, dying, or going crazy.
Now, often people suffering a panic attack for the first time rush to the hospital, convinced that they're having a heart attack. Sufferers can't predict when the attacks will occur, although certain situations, such as driving a car, can become associated with them if it was in those situations where the first attack happened. So if when eating a watermelon you had your first panic attack, you may have more panic attacks whenever watermelons are smelt.
Mm-hmm.
Smelt?
Hydromelophobia.
You're still trying to get out. You're trying to find out what arachnibutyrophobia is, aren't you? We'll get back to that. Panic attacks can easily have a physiological base. One of the most common causes of panic disorders is the side effect of medications used for pain. Now, for example, migraine medications. Migraine medications specifically work in such a way to shut off certain parts of the nervous system and to dull your senses at the same time. If people take those, a little later, a day later, 2 days later, they're going to feel kind of a panicky response. When you're adjusting the chemistry to try to add something with medications and sometimes with just nutritional supplements,
mm-hmm.
you may have a panic attack just because the liver is kind of processing things in a new kind of way. So if you add something brand new to your body, I've known people to have panic attacks on niacinamide. You know, they take niacin and they start feeling a little extra, the way their body processes it. So very often it could be a common response to taking medications. That's one. And you have to remember that all anxiety has a physical component. Once it starts, the whole body responds with chemical changes. And once the physiology kicks in, the rest of the body, including the brain, responds. We'll be going into that in more detail later. Let's go to some of the specific forms of anxiety disorders.
Okay, the next most common form of anxiety disorder is called the generalized anxiety disorder. Now, the generalized anxiety disorder is a free-floating or non-attached, non-specific anxiety or a constant unrealistic worry about one or more everyday occurrences which impact on an individual's ability to complete these daily activities. Generalized anxiety disorder is associated with physical activity symptoms such as, or physical anxiety symptoms such as muscle aches, fatigue, difficulty sleeping, sweating, dizziness, and nausea.
This is one of the most common of the anxiety disorders, and it's amazing how many people suffer with this, not even considering that a psychologist may help. A generalized anxiety disorder is basically a condition in which a person is saying, I never feel safe. Imagine that, never feeling safe. Always feeling like there's a danger. Always feeling jumpy on the inside. Always having your body ready to attack, ready to defend. There are people who are always worrying, who are always obsessing. They are, plain and simple, nervous. They are also the most reactive, the most emotional, the most explosive. Now, when I say emotional, I don't mean the most in touch with their feelings. It means the most emotionally reactive. They're the ones who will jump up at you, yell at you, get offended quickly. They're nervous people. This is a generalized anxiety disorder. Interesting thing about non-medical psychological counseling is that these people, of all people in the world, of all the disorders, are the most responsive to therapy, especially if the therapist has an open heart.
Probably because in the therapy session, for perhaps the very first time in their life, the client, the person suffering from this general malaise of never feeling safe, in that room, they are safe.
Now, I know that brings up a lot of skepticism in many people's mind about whether or not healthcare professional has enough integrity and care to create a safety for someone else. And the person with the generalized anxiety disorder begins to relax. They start to get a little calmer. The other interesting thing about a generalized anxiety disorder is that the source of this feeling of dissafety almost always starts in childhood. Either parents who didn't care or who were overprotective or overtly abusive, or some other childhood experience that led to this feeling of dissafety. I met a woman recently who had a fairly normal childhood until her father went bankrupt when she was 8 years old. Now, until then, she felt real close to her father and her mother. Everybody was accessible to her. But when he went bankrupt, he fell into a depression and was no longer available to her or anybody. He was just sunk. She developed an inner sense of panic that later turned into a serious social phobia, which we're going to describe shortly. The truth is that most anxiety disorders come from a felt sense of unsafety. But what's the danger? You know, where's the danger? If the body is meant to protect you from physical danger, where's the danger? Well, the real danger to a child is when they feel feelings that are unacceptable to those in charge. That's the real danger. A child gets scared but is told that being scared is wrong. So what do? They swallow the fear and they stay inside. A child gets angry, but their anger is unacceptable. What do? They swallow their anger and they tremble inside. So I believe that most of the feeling of dissafety that underlies the generalized anxiety disorder comes from this inability to feel safe in expressing your emotions with your family, with the people who are there in charge. That's where therapy makes a difference. All feelings are acceptable, you know? A person gets the chance to be themselves, maybe for the very first time. It's a beautiful thing to see. That's why I love my work. That's where also good love relationships come in, you know, where you get somebody who you could love, who allows you to be yourself, who feels comfortable with your being yourself. This is what's important. All right. Let's move on to the next issue here, which is phobias. And we will we're going to talk about phobias, post-traumatic stress disorder, obsessive-compulsive disorder. But let's go to the phobias, because this is almost fun.
What about arachnobutyrophobia? Is that after the Super Bowl break?
No, the arachnobutyrophobia is going to come up right here as we talk about the phobias. Okay. Arachibutyrophobia. One of those things, you know, you got to know about it or you can't have a decent sex life. Okay, let's talk about phobias, Bill. Phobias. This type of anxiety disorder afflicts between 5 and 12% of all Americans. People who suffer from this illness feel terror, dread, or panic when confronted with the feared object, situation, or activity. They may become so fearful of leaving their homes that they live like hermits with the window shades down for added protection. So I'll repeat. A phobia is a persistent, intense, and irrational fear associated with a particular object or situation that leads to an avoidance of the object or the situation. The following are common phobias. Let me give you a couple of common phobias.
Okay, social phobia is a persistent fear of one or more situations in which the person is exposed to possible scrutiny by others and fears that he or she may do something or act in a way that will be humiliating to them. Social phobias can also include extreme shyness.
So a social phobia is the fear of situations in which a victim can be watched by others, such as public speaking, such as going to classes, going to school, such as attending a party, or in which the victim's behavior might prove embarrassing. This fear of embarrassment is one of the important diagnostic tools we use when we talk about it. You know, when a person comes in and we want to check for social phobia, we check on this embarrassment part. Because when you hear, "I'm afraid I'm going to embarrass myself," as a part of the reason that people don't go out, you begin to expect social phobia. Interesting thing about social phobia, too, Bill, is that I found there's a high correlation between social phobia and early childhood school phobia. Now, one of the things I've noticed about school phobics is that a school phobic child almost always has some idea that something's going to happen to their mother while they're away at school. So, you know, it's not the fear of school, but it's a fear of separation from the mother.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the school phobia. People who aren't handled properly with the school phobia might turn into social phobes. But as we learned a little earlier with that lady who was perfectly fine until her eighth grade when her father suddenly got depressed after going into bankruptcy, she suddenly became a social phobic.
Mm-hmm.
So social phobia is the fear of situations in which a victim can be watched by others, such as public speaking, which the victim's behaviors might prove embarrassing, such as eating in public, going to parties, or talking to strangers. It begins in late childhood and early adolescence, usually.
There is so much more we'd like to bring you about anxiety, and we will be bringing it to you because that's what we're going to dedicate ourselves to over the next few weeks. There's a lot more to tell you about, but we have to dedicate ourselves to another agenda, and that agenda is that we must get you to value these programs and donate money to the station. You're donating money for the fund. Telephone number 516-620-3602, if you haven't memorized it, 516-620-3602. If you haven't gotten $10 worth of information out of this program has not been successful. There's got to be $5 or $10 that you took out of this that you're going to be able to use in your life, and I'm sure you can. By listening to this, you've learned about anxiety, you've learned about nervousness, you've learned about panic disorders, stuff that you could listen to again on our website. This is valuable information. In order to get this invaluable information, you would have to buy many books. This is the education that you hope for about humanity, about people. 516-620-3602, WBAI, gives us the space to do this with you, and we need you to go to your phones and show your support for the Positive Mind. $5, $10, every program we do, maybe another 10. Put it on your credit card, send it over to us. We are only going through March, hopefully, and by the end of March, we have to be complete. And that means we have to have everything in its place. 516-620-3602. Or you can go to the website, www.givetowbai.org. Givetowbai.org. 516-620-3602. This is Armand DeMille with Julian Yalgioiello. Both of us working to bring you this issue of The Positive Mind with my friend Goodbell Astwood and just information meant to give you a more positively minded life, to learn about people, learn about things. 516-620-3602. If we can't bail out the transmitter, we won't be able to present this to you. 516-620-3602. www.givetowbai.org. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We're going to be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. with more of this material. 516-620-3602. And a very special offer, if I think I can pull it together for you. 516-620-3602. To be sure to tune in tomorrow to The Positive Mind. www.givetowbai.org. My good friends, show your support right now. Back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. 516-620-3602. Bye-bye for now.
And this stuff is information you can't find anywhere else. I mean, I'm in school, I'm at NYU, and I'm in my classes, I'm learning stuff, but we're reading books, we're taking lectures, but we don't learn what we got here on the Positive Mind. This is stuff that you don't hear anywhere else, with guests that you don't ever see. And these people are intelligent and smart people that you can really learn so much from, and we want to keep hearing from them. So call 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602. This is information that we want to share with you, and we can't do it without your donations for the Transmitter Fund, because these donations are going directly to paying for that antenna over in the Empire State Building and getting this radio show out to the 90-mile radius around us. So donate now, call them up, 516-620-3602, tell them you're calling to donate for the Transmitter Fund for WBAI, and donate anything you can, $5, $10, as much as you want, as little as you want, just do it. Get it done. If you haven't done it before, do it now. If you have, do it again, tell somebody else, let everybody know that we need your help. WBAI needs your help. Armand needs your help at The Positive Mind. We all do. 516-620-3602.